He had neither chisarin of the two generations that he lived through. He didn't have the chisarin of the Dor HaMabul, that they were miserable b'nod machaber, nor did he have the chisarin of the Dor HaFloga, that they were terrible b'nod machaber. He was tzadik tomim b'dor HaSov, in the both generations that he survived, that he lived through. Esu alekim is halach noyach. He walked with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What exactly does that mean? So Rashi has part of the Medrash. Rav Soloveitchik once mentioned that he understood this Medrash better when he had grandchildren of different ages and used to walk with them in the street. So sometimes the grandchildren were obviously much younger than him and they would run ahead. And others were so young they had a schlep along behind. They couldn't even keep up with him. And at a certain age they were able to hold on to him and walk with him. So he said that's what the Medrash points out, that Noah had a whole... The Rebbe Shalom had to hold his hand and go with him. Esra lekim is halach noyach. It's not like Avraham Avinu, whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu told his halach lefonai be'yeis amin. Rashi quotes that. The Rebbe Shalom tells Avraham Avinu, I want you to go ahead of me. I want you to be a pioneer. I'm not going to hold your hand. You just go and blaze the trail. So Avraham Avinu was an original thinker. He was a pioneer. He went ahead. And Noyach was a slightly less tzaddik than Avraham Avinu. He needed the siyuwa, he needed the assistance of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't call upon Bnei Yisrael to be either like Avraham Avinu nor like Noach. He just asks of us, Achri Hashem Elokechem Teilechu, a pasuk in Dvarim. If you follow the Ribbono Shel Olam, is also good. If you follow the trail that he blazes for you, you have to go along with him, you don't have to go ahead of him. If you follow him, it's also givaldik. It's also a madrega. These are the three different descriptions of different types of tzaddikim. The pasuk says that the Malah Ha'aretz Chomas, Chomas means Gezel, and there's a famous comment in the Medrash that this is alluding to Gezel Pachas Mishaber Pruta. Now Gezel Pachas Mishaber Pruta, the Gemara happens to say that if Benoach is Nerag Al Pachas Mishaber Pruta, then a Nochri, one of the Nochri given Sheva Mitzvahs Beninah, so one of those Sheva Mitzvahs is Gezel, and Gezel by Yisrael has a shear of a pruta. Less than the shear of pruta is a chatzis shear. That's how the Magen Mishnah writes in the beginning of Hilchus Gzeila and the Rambam. And just like chatzis shear of Simen HaTera by Macholot HaSura, so too, the Rambam writes also Ligz al Kol Shehu. But you're not allowed to steal even less than the shear of pruta, but the real full Aveira of Gzeila is only violated if you steal the shear of pruta. So the Magen Mishnah says that that's the shear, and a chatzis shear is Simen HaTera. Pachas Min Shear of Pruta is a chatzis shear is Simen HaTera. But by Bnei Noach, the Gemara says that Bnei Noach is nerag even al pachas mishaber pruta. If a Nachri steals even less than the shaber pruta, he's punished with einish misa. A Nachri who violates any one of the shaber mitzvahs that they were given is chayiv misa. If he saw but violate Gezel, you're not chayiv misa. If he saw violates Eidim Menachai, you get malchus. And Gezel, you don't even get malchus. If he saw violates some of the arayis, we're also chayiv misa, but not all of them. Dinim, if we violate dinim, we're not chayiv misa. He did another, so he didn't establish what he did. He didn't punish the people who deserve to be punished, but you don't get punished with the Einish Misa for violating this. And by Bnei Noach, the Gemara says, Azar Asam, Zuli Misosam, whenever they violate any of the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach, say the Chayiv Misa. So we understand the din that by Bnei Noach, even less than Sheva Pruta is considered Gzela. The Rambam explains why, because Lanitnu Shiurim Libnei Noach. The halacha that you need a kashir only applies by Yisrael. Let's say we have a din, we have an Isra of Eid Menachai, we have an Isra of Basim Menachai. So by us, in order to get Malthus to eating Basim Menachai, you have to eat the Zayis of Basim. By Libnei Noach, the Rambam writes a Chiddush, really doesn't say this in the Gemara anywhere. The Rambam writes an original Chiddush. It says later, after the Mabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu permitted Noach to eat meat, the Gemara had a tradition that Adam Arishon lohutal basa. Adam Arishon was not permitted to eat meat. So in the Mele, there couldn't have been a prohibition of Eid Menachai given to Adam Arishon. If he has to be a vegetarian, he can't eat any meat, period. So nothing to discuss about Eid Menachai. But that prohibition of Asar Lechol Basar only lasted up until after the Mabul. After the Mabul, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he permits Noach to eat all the meat that he wants except for Eivim and Achai. He's not permitted. How does the pasuk say? Koremes Asher Uchai Lechem Le'el Yochlo Ki Erekes Ibn Nesati Lechem Eskol. Just like I gave fruits and vegetables were mutter for achila to Adam Arishan, ki erikesim, so now too I give you noyach permission to eat all the meat. However, with an exception, ach basa ben afsha dama lo sachela, but even when achai, you're not permitted to eat. That's why we always call it the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Why do you call Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach? If the Chazal had a tradition, it was given to Adam Arishan. Ha'itzav Hashem alakim al ha'odim alayim and mekol ha'itzakan al ha'chaltech ha'itzadas ha'shev v'toich ha'gam ha'soch v'men etc. So the Chachanim had a tradition and not Pasuk. Ha'itzav Hashem alakim. The whole Sugya in Sanhedrin, and Achnan Zayin, and Ches, and Tes. That Pasuk contains the Torah Shev Alpen. That Pasuk contains the whole series of all the Sheva Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. So call them the Sheva Mitzvahs of Umas Ha'ilam. What's that? It's Bnei Noach. So the Rambam explains why, because Eiv Menachai is one of the Shem Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. Eiv Menachai didn't exist until the days of Noach, because they were also Lechel, or the Marishon Lehutel of Osa Bachil, it was also to eat meat in general, but that was only Hai Rashah. The prohibition against eating meat was only Hai Rashah for 10 generations till after the Mabul. And after the Mabul was over, then meat was Mutah, but Eiv Menachai was also. So that began, the seventh of the Shem Mitzvahs Bnei Noach began with Noach, Eiv Menachai. So that's why we call all of them the Shem Mitzvahs Bnei Noach. The Rambam writes it in a more accurate fashion. He says that six mitzvahs were given to Adam Arishon, Lederis. He was given another mitzvah not to eat in the Eitz Hadas. But that doesn't apply to us. We don't have any Eitz Hadas. So that was only Rosh Hashanah. The other six mitzvahs were given, Gezel, Dinim, and so on. Those were given to Adam Arishon. And the whole world was running like that for 10 generations. And people were violating it for 10 generations. It doesn't mean that it was running well. There were only six mitzvahs that the Umas Olam had. And then after the Mabul, the prohibition against the meat was lifted, and a man was permitted to eat meat, and at that time, Yisrael Eiv Menachai was given. So that's all it says in the Gemara and in the Pasuk in the Gemara. Ach Pas Menaf Shadam Lo Sechel, they're not permitted to eat Eiv Menachai. The Rambam writes a Chiddush that even Basa Menachai is also forbidden. Eiv Menachai, Basa Menachai are not the same thing. Eiv Menachai, the Gemara says the definition of Eiv is if you have Basa Gidim Matzomas together, you have here. This is one aver, this is a second aver, this is a third aver. Every joint in the finger is considered an aver. That's the Mishnah all of us. When it lists up the beginning of all this, which are the Ramach Evarim, which are the 248 Evarim in a male body. A female body doesn't have 248, but a male body has 248 Evarim. So the Mishnah lists off each one of these is another aver, because in order to be labeled as an aver, you have to have etzem, a bone, a whole bone. You have to have a little basar, right? It has to have a gid in there. If you only have basar, you have basar and efsen without a gid, so that's not called an aver. The definition of aver is basar, gid, matzomas together. So that's the prohibition of basar menachai. Then there's another prohibition of, that's the prohibition of aver menachai, basar, gid, matzomas together. And then you have another prohibition of basar menachai. So in the Gemara, in the end of in Chulin, in the end of Perakol Abasa, I think it's the last daf, there is a machlek of Yechon Rish Lakish. What pasuk, from which pasuk do we derive the prohibition of Basa Menachai Legabi Bnei Yisrael? We're not allowed to eat Basa Menachai. So one opinion in the Gemara is that it's learned out from Eid Menachai, you read it in between the lines. The other pasuk is, that's the opinion of Rish Lakish. But Yechon's opinion, which is the generally accepted opinion, whatever the machlek of Yechon Rish Lakish, Rava says in Yivamas that we always pass them like Rabbi Yechanan, except the three cases. In this one, Basa Menachai is not one of the three. So Rabbi Yechanan says that the prohibition of Basa Menachai is derived from that vague pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, Ubasa Basada Trefa Lo Sachelu. So there's so many extra words in that pasuk that refers to Trefa, all the Trefa animals that you're not allowed to eat. And then it refers also to basar, basar menachai. Then it refers to basada. Basada means kimish yotze basar chutz and chitzasa. That means karbanos de lo yotze chutz and yushalayim. Or katsin kalam de lo yotze chutz and huazara. Or an uvi shahotze yodel chutz lene'eima when you're shechting a ben pekua. All bunch of cases. So you darshan from each word in the topic additional things, but they all belong under the category of trefa. Basar, basada, trefa, lo sechelu. The Gemara says, what's the difference between Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, whether the Alfusa, whether the prohibition of Basa Menachai is learned up in the Pasuk of Eid Menachai, like Rabbi Shlokish holds, or it's learned up in the Pasuk of Trefa, like Rabbi Yechon holds? The Gemara says, the difference will be, look, what if a person is eating, let's say, a kezayis of Trefa meat, and another kezayis of Basa Menachai, and he's about to eat both, he has the two dishes on the table, Basa Menachai and Trefa, and the witnesses warn him in advance, don't eat those because you're going to get malchus for that. So let's say the trefa meat has three kazesim. They measured it. They packaged it. Exactly. So they tell me then, don't eat the three kazesim of trefa, you're going to get three times malchus. So the Gemara says if they warned him in advance and eat the three kazesim, he only gets once malchus. Unless they warn him and eat one kazais, then they warn him again. You better not eat the second kazais if you're going to give him malchus a second time. And he doesn't care when he eats it. Then they want him a third time. If they give him a hasra, ben achila, 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 so then he'll like him many times. That's the Mishnah in Nozer and the Mishnah in Makis. If a Nozer is drinking wine and they want him, al-tishta, al-tishta, don't drink the wine. So if they want him before each achila, in between the first kishir and the second kishir, then he gets many times malchus. But if they want him in advance, that this bottle has 10 revius, let's say it's a machloekes hatamim, whether the shir is kazayish or revius of wine for a nazir, how much wine does he have to drink? So let's say it's revius, for argument's sake. So they want him, we know that this bottle has 10 revius of wine, don't drink out the whole bottle, we'll give you 10 times malchus. And he says, I don't care, give me all the malchus you want. Oh, I'd enjoy having a little malchus, and I'll enjoy drinking the wine also. So he drinks all the wine. So then the din is, we pass him that you only give once malchus. We pask and you only give once malchus. The Rambam in the Pirush on Mishnah Yisandaz, of course, the Yerushalmi has a different opinion, but we don't pask him like that. The Yerushalmi is an Amoy right. We pask him like the Babli. You only get many times malchus if you gave Asra al Tishta ben Achila Rishon al Achila Shniyah and so on. Unless, with the thesis in the end of the Kiddushin, unless the teller is going to violate two different Aveilas. Let's say he has on the plate Basim and Basim and Cholod, and he has on his plate the Neveilah, and he has on his plate Eiv Menachai. And they don't know what he's going to eat first. He's taking the fork and he's looking around what to eat. So they tell me, better not eat anything on the plate, because whatever you eat, you're going to get malchus, because this is Nevela, and this is Basa B'Cholot, and this is whatever, I don't know, what did I just make up before? Orla? And they say, and if you eat any one of them, you get malchus, and if you eat two of them, you get twice malchus, and if you eat three of them, you get three times malchus. And then he's poking around, and he eats one, two, three, eats them all up. So then it's not a repeat of the same Aveir, the three different Aveirs. So then Tosis in the end of Kiddush and has a Gemara. And in such a case you get many times Malchus. But then it's not necessary to give the Hasra Turki the Dibra prior to each Aveir that he's about to do. Sometimes you need Hasra immediately before. That's only if he's going to repeat the same Aveir several times to be Mafrid, to be Mechalakit, to be Mafrid between the first Kishir and the second Kishir, then you need the Hasra Lechalik. But if they're different Aveirs, then you get different a few times Malchus. But that's what the Gemara says, the Nafkamina is over here. Let's say a person has on the plate the Kazayis of Eid Menachai and the Kazayis of Basa Menachai. So according to Reish Lakish, that Basa Menachai had learned that from the Pasuk, the same Pasuk as Eid Menachai. So then if they want them in advance, don't eat either this or that, because if you eat this, it'll be Malchus. If you eat that, it'll be Malchus. And if he goes and eats both, then it's only going to be once Malchus, because it's just a repeat of the same law. Eats Eid Menachai and eats Basa Menachai. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, that Basa Menachai has learned that from the Pasuk of Trefa, then if they want them in advance, don't eat A or B because you get Malchus. If you get A and B, then we'll give you twice Malchus. Then you would get twice Malchus. They gave Masra on again because he did two distinct Averis. But let's say if he had on the plate the Kazayis Trefa and the Kazayis of Basa Menachai. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, they both are learned that from the same Pasuk. So that's a repeat of the same law. So if they want them in advance, don't eat this or that or both, because you get twice malchus, then long get once malchus, because he just repeated the same aveir twice, and there was no hasra l'chalek in between. So the Rambam passes, so it is an afkamino l'dinim. So the Gemara says, and the last daf in Gidan Asher, that this machlokes aveir hamesh lokish is not just an abstract machlokes, whether basa menachai is derived from the pasuk of eid menachai, or it's derived from the pasuk of trefa, it's an afkamino l'dinim, how many times malchus the person gets. So the Rambam passes, like Rabbi Yechanan, the Basa Menachai is learned that from the Pasuk of Trefa, not learned that from the Pasuk of Eid Menachai. So that's why there's a famous kasha that Achrenim asked. It's known from the Shagas Aryeh. The Achrenim quotes it. The Shagas Aryeh asked this murderous kasha. The one who wrote up the kasha called him Hari Achai, the live line. He was a great takif in his opinions. He said, Rashi's wrong, the Taisus is wrong, the Rambam is wrong, and he's the only one who's right. He used to disagree with all of Rishonim. He used to disagree with all of Achrenim also, that was for sure, but even with the Rishonim he used to disagree. So he asked this murderous kasha on the Rambam, how can the Rambam write in Hilchos Malachim, and the Rambam quotes all the dinim of Bnei Noach from the Sugi and Sanhedrin, that from Zion and Ches, and says, how can the Rambam write that Bnei Noach are forbidden from eating Basa Menachai, if we pass it like Rabbi Yechon, that Basa Menachai is a branch of the din of Trefa, it's not a branch of the din of Eid Menachai. It's a branch of the din of Trefa, Bnei Noach are not Muzer on Trefa. They're forbidden to eat Eid Menachai, but Basa Menachai is not a branch. It's not under, doesn't fall under the category of Eved Mechayev. Falls under the category of Treifa. So how does Treifa apply to Dinei Noyet? That's his kasha on the Ram. So the truth of the matter is that this kasha was already pointed out by the Ramban on Chulin. The Rishonim on Chulin, on that daf, at the end of Tergil Anoshe, the Rashbo, and the Ran, Chidush Ran, they quote that the Ramban was pointed it out, despite the fact that there's a machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, the Gabi Yisrael. What is the marker of the prohibition of Bas Menachai? Is it from the Pasuk of Treifa or is it from the Pasuk of Eid Menachai? But by the Nenayach, there's no machlokes. By the Nenayach, they all agree that Eid Menachai is subsumed under the category of Bas Menachai, belongs under the category, falls under the category of Eid Menachai. And just like they forbidden to eat Eid Menachai, so too they are forbidden to eat Bas Menachai. That's how the Ramban writes. And he thinks that the Rambam is not difficult at all. He happens to agree with the Rambam. He thinks the Rambam is Gogebal. But that's what the Rambam wrote, and that was the kasha against the Rambam. So getting back over here, some Rav Soloveitchik, Zechanu Rocha, said the name of his father as a teret on Mishagasai's kasha. The Ramban gave this other teret. The Ramban says that the whole machlekes of Yechem Yishlokish only applies by Yisrael, by Ben Nerech, there never was a machlekes. Rav Soloveitchik said a different, offered a different teret. He thought that every time you have Basa Menachai, by us, you have to have a kezayis, because shiurim were given to Bnei Yisrael by Bnei Noach. The Rambam says you never need any kishir. You don't need a kezayis, because the Rambam writes shiurim, tatzitz, and mechitz, and halachon moshim sinai, and halachon moshim sinai was only given to Bnei Yisrael. It wasn't given to the Yom HaSod. So they don't need a shiur. If they'll eat a basar menachai, less than a kezayis, this happens to be very common. I was told by two different people that almost all of the meat that's sold to the Nachrim is all basar menachai. Novel all right. That they bop the animal on the head, and before it drops dead, they start ripping off the meat. I don't know why they do that. The two people who told me, they didn't know themselves why they do that, but they said that's what they were told, that they rip the animal to pieces while it's still alive. The prohibition of basa menachai and menachai doesn't only apply when the animal is still alive. If you ripped it off while it's still alive, even if it's put in the freezer for a year, and after a year it's certainly dead, it's still going to be a basa menachai and menachai. If it was detached from the live animal before it drops dead, calls man that it's a mefaches, they don't do shchita, they don't perform a proper act of shchita. They just hit the animal on the head, and while it's still in the process of dropping dead, of dying, then they rip it apart. So that's a problem. All the meat that they're selling to non-Jews is bas menachais. So you're not allowed to give any meat to a non-Jew. It's a shalit, a nisa, not a shalit. A nisa of lif neiver. That's the Gemara's case of lif neiver. If you serve eid menachai to a ben noach, you give bas menachai to a ben noach. So let's say someone works as a waiter in a restaurant, so you're not allowed to say, a guy says he'd like to buy some meat sandwich or something like that. After Tom, sorry, Bas Menachai, I can't sell it to you. It's trading for the non-Jews, Bas Menachai, Chai Misa if he eats. Anyway, so Ramosha Soloveitchik's parents on this Rambam, on this Shagasarius Kasha, was that Shiurim were never given to Bnei Noach. So Bas Menachai is a Chatzi Shira of Eid Menachai. What's the definition of Eva? Basa didn't batzalmas. If you have one without the other two, if you have the basa without the atzalmas and without the gidden, then it'll be a chatzishir of an Eid Menachai. And the Bataris chatzishir, Benenach would be chai. Yeah, why are some people smiling? Why does it seem so humorous? Very shvere teretz. Why is it shvere? It's a different kind of a shir. The shir nekuda. To use the terminology of the Ragachaber, which Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't use, but it's a good terminology anyway. He said there are two different types of shirim. Sometimes you have a shirim mitzvah. If you don't have enough, you've got to get more. You have to have more. And sometimes you have a shirim nekuda. It means up until you have that amount, you don't even have to. There's nothing here. When you say the definition of Eid Menachai is basi gid matzom, that's a definition. It's not that you have to have so much in order to be loike. It's not that you have to have so much. You have to have basi gid matzom. And if you don't have all three, by definition, it's not Eid Menachai. How can you say that basi menachai is a chotzi shir of Eid Menachai? It's not chotzi shir by definition. If it's a shir by definition, a shir definition. The definition. It's a definition of what's an eiver. So how can you speak about a chotzi shir? It's a very shmer terror. I don't know exactly what it meant. Anyway, Ramban doesn't give that answer. Ramban writes on his own, not a shmer Rama. Ramban doesn't come to Farem for the shmer Rama. Ramban thinks that the whole machloikas of Yechon and Mishlokish is only legabi Yisroel, legabi Bnei Noach. Everybody agrees the Basa Menachai is a branch of the din of Eid Menachai, and Menachai prohibited to have Basa Menachai. So getting back over here, the chatzi shear would have been osir, but the male hearts chametz, and the matter says that it used to cheat a little bit here, a little bit there, chatzi shear here, chatzi shear there. Yeah. So the Gemara does make such a statement. There is a din of chatzi shear as osman ator, that is correct by Israel. But over here, the Gemara says in Erevin that this is a different din. This is not the Torah's chatzi shear. The Gemara says, benerach is nerag al pachas mishad kuta. This is considered the full kashir. That if a nachri cheats a chatzi shear, that's considered the full shear of the Aver. And the Gemara says, therefore, let's say we have a din that karka is nicknamed the kesef, so the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, chamish puta same. The Mishnah in the end of Perak HaZohar says there are five dinim that depend on the shavu puta. So one of them is that karka is nicknamed as bepruta, nisha is miskadesh is bepruta, and pigeon hegdish is bepruta, and so many different things. The ila is bepruta, and all the hegdish is bepruta. So the Gemara says in Erevin that that halacha, that kinyan, kesef, has to have a minimum of bepruta. It's only by Yisrael, by Bnei Noach, that since the din is that a Bnei Noach is Nerag, Al-Pachas, Mishal Puto, so that shows that a Pachas Puto is also considered Mammon. It's not a Chatz Yishir, it's considered Mammon Zamor. So therefore, a Pachas Mishal Puto is good to be kind of from an offering. That's why we have it in. Let's say you want to make an Erev in a building. So all of the Shem Yishabas become Shutzim in a box of matzahs and the Lechem, and then you have to rent for the Nochrim who live in the building on a Mechal Yishabas. So the Gemara says, you can rent for the Nochrim, even using less than the Shavu Pruta. The Gemara says it's not because of a special kula of Erev Chatzeres, because the whole thing is only a make-believe kumah midrabanan, so kumah on top of a kumah midrabanan. The Gemara doesn't say that. There are other kulas that are just because it's a kumah. That's not kula. Gemara says that's the real din. Because of Ben Erech is Nerech al-Pachim Shavu Pruta, so that shows that Pachim Shavu Pruta has a din moment by Ben Erech. So therefore you can be kind of karka from a nachri, even a less than a Shavu Pruta. But this, so really, when the Medrash says about Batimale Hearts, Chomas, and Pachus of a Puta, by Ben Noach it doesn't make a difference. Pachus of a Puta is the same as a Puta. But what the Medrash is trying to bring out is the following, that if you cheat one person, Pachus of a Puta, if you cheat each person only Pachus of a Puta, you can become a multi-millionaire on Ganeva. One of the boys was telling me, Bobby Goldberg, about some, you have to be into mathematics to appreciate this one, that there was in the newspaper that some Ganeva who was cheating everybody at this on the. He set up the computer in such a way, he set up the system in such a way that he cheated every customer, a pachas mishal puta, and became a multi-millionaire from cheating all the customers all over the whole wide world from the way he set up the computer. Then the government caught him. Then he's sitting in jail. Okay. But each person, he only stole, on each sale, he only cheated a pachas mishal puta. A bank, no, it was a bank, if they're giving the interest or something. So whenever the interest was pachas mishal puta, so they kept it. So it turned out that they kept so much money, they were cheating all the customers. Yeah. So that's, I think that's what the Medrash Tak is driving about. The Mali Hearts Chamas, because he cheats on a Pachas Mishal Puta, you can do it on such a grand scale that it'll turn out that it's no longer petty larceny. It's a major act of Ganeda. Vayar kimitzaretz v'hinein lishkoscha ki hishkist kol basor is darko al ha'oretz. And Rashi has a comment, afil behema chayviyot niskokim l'she'enon minon, that even the animals were mating with different minon, which is abnormal. There was so much sin on the part of man that the influence of the vicious of the human beings, they violated the institution, they violated all kinds of crazy things. So the wishes of the human beings spilled over, the attitude spilled over to the behemoths. So the behemoths when this cock in the shein amino. Some of them are just not molded. If you're going to, let's say, cross together a bird with a human being, so they, whoever is in the cave is just not going to become pregnant. But some of the other minim can be molded. So those were molded, all kinds of forms of kilayim. So there's an interesting comment that the Netziv makes about the dinosaurs. The Netziv on this week's Seder discusses dinosaurs that were discovered that are from so many years ago. So where did this come from? Where did these things come from? So he says that some suggested that this is, we can understand this based on the Midrashim that say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara olam v'samachrivon. He created first one form of a world, and then he destroyed it, and he didn't like it, then he created another world, then he destroyed that. He created quite a few times. He says it's a passage in the Bereishis Rabbah, a passage in the Zohar, and different psukim. But what is that all about? That's also a telling. Here the Netziv is on Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chav Gimel. We'll soon explain the pasuk the way he mentions it. What is that all about? What do you mean? Because Zohu, and he said, Baruch Shalom said, Dein Hanyali, Dein Lo Hanyali. This one I like, this one I don't like. So we pointed out already last week. If it's not going to come out good, so how did the Baruch Shalom create it in the first place? What is it? He wants a world to come to existence, and he didn't say whether it should be a pretty world or an ugly world. Then it turned out to be an ugly world. Turned out by itself to be an ugly world. How can that be? Whatever the Ribbono Shel Olam rotzon was, that's exactly what's going to happen. So we don't understand this medrash. He created olamos, and then he said judgment. Dein lo hanilei. I don't like that world. And then hechrivon, and then he created another world, and he said I don't like that world either. Very strange medrash. It doesn't make any sense. So Rav Soloveitchik said on this medrash as well as several other midrashim like that. We don't know exactly what the Medrash means, but what the Chazal are trying to teach us is the halachta b'drachim. We have to go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So a lot of times, hichtiv b'yatzma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictates the Moshe Rabbeinu right in the Chumash, like we must have mentioned last week. V'yamashri shavaz v'ayinu afash. What do you mean v'ayinu afash? Rabban Shalom rested on Shabbos. He was working so hard in the Sheshes Nedrashes. He doesn't work hard to create the world. He just has a rotzen. He wants things to come to existence, and they come to existence. He wants it to be nice, it comes out nice. So what does it mean v'ayinu afash? So it doesn't, it's not true. It's not true. It's a lie. No, it's a poor choice of a verb, v'ayinu afash. It doesn't really apply to Rabban Shalom. So why did he dictate to Moshe Rabbeinu write v'ayinu afash? The Rabban Shalom dictated every letter in the Chumash. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, "Hichted biatzma menucha." He dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Right, vaynochash," to teach human beings that they have to rest up a little bit. Also, some people are workaholics; they work 24 hours a day, and they're meshuga about working. Some people are talking crazy about learning. Also, some people get sick from too much asmada. I haven't seen that so much. I have seen once in a while. I remember a guy from the neighborhood. He got sick from too much asmada. He had a total blackout for a whole year. He couldn't function. But that's really unusual. That's unusual. Usually people are workaholics. People become sugar that they work. So the Rebbeinu Shalom writes about himself, "Vayinofash, I'm telling Kindalach, v'halach to bedrachov. You have to do what I do. I created everybody to tell them, Elokim, so you have to act the same way I act. How do I act? Vayinofash. Whatever that really means, we'll never know. Only God himself will understand. But as far as we're concerned, it means vayinofash that we have to rest up. So look over here, that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Bayer Olamos and Machlif, and what it really means, we will probably never understand, but what it means as far as we're concerned is that sometimes a person builds up a whole career, and then he realizes that this is ridiculous. What is he in this field? It's from God, so not for him. And then he's embarrassed, let's say, a person later on in life. A lot of times a person is embarrassed, well, he's going to go into a different field. So Rebbeinu Shalom says, yeah, he did it. Rebbeinu Shalom did it. Whatever it means, but Rebbeinu Shalom, we're not sure. Rebbeinu Shalom did one whole mahalach, and then he scratched the whole thing and he started all over again. Then he did it the third time and the fourth time, many times over and over, to teach us that in case we made a mistake, we should scratch that whole life and start all over again with another mahalach. And if that doesn't work, so start a third time, start a fourth time. You should start over, even if it didn't work the first time and the second time. Anyway, so there is such a medrash. What it fully means, we don't know. But the medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Borei Olamos Machrivim. So some Rabbanim suggested that maybe that's what these dinosaurs are all about. This is left over from the original Olamos Shehechriv HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he didn't like it. So he doesn't think that Netziv thinks that that's not correct. Kosher L'dayti L'Enakein, he thinks that it's not correct, because the expression that's used in the Medrash Mois Rabba, this theme of Borei Olamos Machrivim, appears in different sources. So one of the sources says the following, that whenever it says Eile, whenever it says V'Eile, Moisif HaRishonim, V'Eile HaMishpatim HaShot Tassim Bifneim, says V'Eile HaMishpatim. I already forgot how to say Eile or V'Eile. Anyway, Rashi a few times of Chumash quotes, whenever it says Eile, means these and only these. And whatever we said before is out. And whenever it says V'Eile, it's Hemshah. But Moisif HaRishonim, it's Hemshah. Here it says Eile told us HaShemayim Ba'aretz V'Hi Baran. Eile means Pasal HaRishonim. Ma Pasal? What do you mean Eile told us HaShemayim? What was there before that the Rebbeinu Shalom is passing? So the Medrash says he was Borei Lamais, Hayu Mistakel Behem, V'Lahayu Arevim Olo. They were not pleasant. He didn't like them. The Hechaziron L'Tohu Vavohu. So he says you can't say that the fossils and the dinosaurs that are discovered are the leftover Shirayim from the previous world. If the Lashon of the Medrash is Hechaziron L'Tohu Vavohu, so maybe the other Midrashim don't agree. Whatever. But the Netziv thinks that it's not correct. He thinks that Borei Lamais Machrivon means Achzirim L'Toyle Vav. In Kain, Leinishtar Mehem started a Tavit, so there's nothing left over. So where did these bones come from? So he thinks that these bones were from before the Mabul. Before the Mabul? But the Rabban Shalom took Mikol Min into the... Rabban Shalom told Noach he has to take Zohar Nikeva from each Min to retain all the Minim. How come there are no more dinosaurs and no more all of these things after the Mabul? So he says, no, these were Kilayim. These were like the Mamzeil. These were the Kilayim. Because the Pasuk says, before Kiyishchis Kalbosar is Darkai Al Ha'aretz, Rashi quotes from the Medrash, the Behemah V'chayim and Iskokim L'Sheinu Minam. So he thinks if you have two animals and Iskokim L'Sheinu Minam, you're going to have Kilayim. Sometimes it's going to be awkward, very strange shaped animals that were not Rogalim. So when the Rabban Shalom destroyed the world and he maintained in the Teva, Zoch and the Keva from each Min to Kim Amin, he wasn't interested in Kiyum HaMinim of Kilayim. He only wanted the original Minim. He didn't care for these Minim of Kilayim. So that's why we didn't have them afterwards. This is what he suggests. But it says in the Pasuk, that's what he's commenting on in that Pasuk. How can he say that these animals were left over from before the Mabul? But it says the Lashon is Vayimachas Kol HaYikum Asher Al Pneihu Adomo. So it sounds like everything, just like the Bera Elamit Machrivan, Vahachzivan, the Torah of Avod, there's nothing like Mishtabahem, sorry, the poet, to use his expression. When they were just feeding the Tzivlit, at the time that they had just discovered all these fossils, all these dinosaurs. So one of the prominent Rabbanim published an essay, oh, this is from the Bera Elamit Machrivan. So he was not happy about that. So he gave his suggestion that it's Kedemam Babel. So it's the same Tashi Kedemam Babel, because the person Chav Gimel, in chapter Zion, where this Nitzivis is. So it says, kol asher al miyod it says utterly destroyed. It doesn't just mean that they died. It was utterly destroyed. So how can you say that these fossils were left over from before the Mabul? He thinks that it doesn't mean that. He thinks whatever was al pnehu adoma on the surface of the earth was vayimach. That was all utterly destroyed with the hot waters of the Mabul. But he says there must have been some old animals that were dead and buried and covered over with offor, or with dust and sand and so on. So that's not al pneihu adoma. So that was not bayimach. That was not utterly destroyed. So he thinks that these dinosaurs are from Kedem HaMabul, and they weren't included in bayimach because they weren't al pneihu adoma. They weren't on the surface of the ground. They must have been under the surface of the ground. They must have been buried. That's his suggestion. A horse and a cow, probably you won't get a dinosaur. Horse and a cow, the Gemara says, Arena Molid, because if it's a behema with the horror with a tomato and you cross them, they're not molded. It has to be a tomato with a tomato. No, he points out you can have, let's say, a horse and a donkey, so you'll get the third min, which will be very different. So he says, if you try your luck at others, you'll get all kinds of weirdos. That's his suggestion. He doesn't want I just read this week in the New York Times that when did man start to build ships? It says 5,000 years ago. That's exactly when the Mabul was. HaKadosh Baruch Hu must have given him instructions. So they had on the first page in the Science Times this Tuesday that they think that it dates back to 5,000 years. That's it. Exactly when the Mabul was, Manoach made the Teva. That's exactly when men started to make boats that were able to. They always used to float on just a piece of wood, and that was the first time that they put together a few pieces of wood and made everything into a shape of something which a formal boat. So this is Taka, quite a boat. This was something. Kadosh Baruch Hu says that he's making a bris for Hakimosi's bris itoch or vasa el hateva ato vanecho yishtocho yishet vanecho itoch. What is this bris? Hakimosi's bris itoch, chapter Vav, Pasuk Yud Ches. Rashi quotes from the Medrash, a gracious rabba. He didn't have any freezer there. He didn't have any refrigerator. Other rabba, the Chazal had a tradition that the waters were burning hot. They were burning hot, so everything was steaming. And the Gemara says in the end of Sanhedrin, the Chachamim had a tradition that the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. The water was all over the globe, except for Eretz Yisrael, as if there were walls, imaginary walls, that separated, but the water didn't come into Eretz Yisrael. But the Gemara says the heat did come in. The water didn't come in, but the heat. Because then no one remained alive in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says because the heat affected Eretz Yisrael as well. So the... So there was no refrigeration. It wasn't cold. Adra was burning hot. So why didn't all the food that Noah stocked up on food for himself, for the human beings, and for all the animals, a whole year's worth of food, how come the food didn't spoil? Food should spoil in such a long time. If you have a freezer, it's one thing. There was no freezer. It wasn't cold. It was burning hot. Even Eretz Yisrael, but the marble didn't come. But the Gemara says that the heat affected Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, that's what the Bris was all about. Like Moses, Bris Yitzchak, Bris Hayotzach, Ala Perish, Elo Yerop, for the Yopshu. Number one. Then he says, secondly, Vishelo Yahavu, Rishayim Shebedor. Rashi says two suggestions from the Medrash. So the Nitzir is bothered with the lotion of the Pasuk. Vakimosi is greasy itah has the connotation of that bris that's there, it's gonna go in your direction. As if there already is a bris, as if HaKadosh Baruch already was curse a bris. He doesn't say Vakimosi bris itah. Vakimosi es greasy itah. My bris there, my covenant that I made already is gonna go in your direction. What covenant did he make already? Which bris is he referring to? It's a strange construction of a pasuk. This pasuk Yud Ches in chapter 1. So then it quotes a pasuk in Yirmiyah chapter Lamed Beis, the famous pasuk. The lo bris yomam v'layla chukishmai v'otz loy something. What does that pasuk mean? So the Gemara has different levels of interpretation in the pasuk. So one interpretation in the Gemara in the Dorim is that it refers to bris milah. I just attended a bris milah this morning. If not for the schus of bris milah, Kodesh Baruch Hu would not have created the whole Bible. Another level of interpretation is that it refers to Liman HaTorah, and the schus of Liman HaTorah, Blood Reese Yom Eloi, that's not for the fact that people learn Bahasmada all day and all night, Chukishmai words like something, the Rabbanu Shem will not have created the world, as we spoke about last week. Yom HaShishi, in the schus of Kabbalah HaTorah, and continued Liman HaTorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu maintains the world. Another interpretation, the Gemara says, it refers to the bris of HaKras Midim U'Musafim, the Korbanus. If not for the Korbanus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not have created, he wouldn't maintain the whole world. And then it see, it has a new interpretation, like he always does. He always has interpretations in everything, all of Tanakh. He says that it means like this. The Rabbanu Shalom created Chukash Mayim Bo'aretz. Yeah, but if man is going to sin, the whole purpose of the B'riah was for man. If man is going to sin, so then Rabbanu Shalom is going to destroy the whole world. And man can destroy the whole world. So he made a creases breeze with Adam and Chava that he's not going to destroy the whole world. Even if they'll sin to the extent that everything deserves to be scrapped and to start all over again, Borei Olam is Machrivon, he made a bris with Adam and Chava, and he points up Psukim and Bereishis where he thinks that that's the Mashmos. So that's what he reads in Melo Brisi, Yomam V'Aloilo, if not for the fact that I made a bris that I will not destroy the world, Chugish Mamor Esloi Samta, I would never have created the world, because to create the world, and Kadosh Baruch Hu should waste his time to create the world, and it lends itself to be utterly destroyed. So what did he waste his time in the first place to create it for? Human beings don't want to waste their time on something that may turn out to be nothing, may turn out to be wasted. So the Bashan for sure didn't want to waste his time creating a world. So he only created the world because he promised to himself that he's not going to destroy that world. So that bris that he made with Adam and Chava, now he says, Hatmosis briti itoch, that bris that exists already with the world, that bris is going to go in your direction. The rest of the world is going to disappear, and you're going to be the one who's going to have that bris mekud. Because the Baruch Shalom wiped out the whole world, that wiped out all the animals and all the human beings and so on, all the birds, and the only one who survived was Noach with all the people in the table. That's the interpretation that the Nitziv gives. That's when he didn't make any bris. He didn't make a bris at that time. Yeah. Rashi quotes from the Medrash that Noach knew how to learn Torah. Wasn't ready for Ashiya, but one of the elementary shiur. He learned a little Torah. What Torah did he learn? Because he had to know a little Torah because the Rabbanu Shalom told him. Some of the things that he did with the teva were based on halacha. Two things. First of all, from the kosher animals he had to take 7 pairs. From the non-kosher animals he only took 1 pair. Zochan he gave shnayim. And from the kosher animals shiva, Zochan he gave 7 pairs. So he had to know what's kosher, what's non-kosher. So he had to know a little bit that area of halacha. Then he had to know another. He didn't have to learn all of kolat arkuva. But then he had to learn also, so he had to learn that part of Chulin, what's a kosher animal, what's a non-kosher animal. Then he had to learn also a little bit to know, a little kilayim, know, he had to take zachar nekeva from every min. So the reindeer are different from the plain deer. They're different kinds of deer. So which one is, has to have a zachar nekeva from each min. So let's say they're redheads, and then they're brunettes, and then they're blondes within their deers. So that's a different min. No, that's the same min. But sometimes it's going to be a different min. So that's, you got to know a lot of biology, you got to know a lot of halacha for that, to know what's one min, what's a different min. So that was the other area of halacha that Noach had to know. So the Netziv points out that the area that he had to know about kosher versus non-kosher animals, that he only had to know for a brief amount of time. That he could forget about later. He didn't have to chazer that for the rest of his life. That was only relevant for this occasion. When he's opening up the gates of the tevos, he has to take shiva from the kosher animals, and shnayim from the non-kosher animals. And after the table was closed, he can forget, he can pack up his yeridei and forget that section of halacha. He doesn't have to know. Abi not supposed to learn. Benoich shelama Torah is chayv misa. The Gemara says they're permitted to learn shel mitzvahs for two, but that was neged to them. They're allowed to learn. So it was neged to him. He had to know which is kosher, which is not kosher. After the table was closed, if they already took him into the table, it's irrelevant. So he's not allowed to continue learning that the mitzvah says. But the other halacha is to know what's one min or what's two minim. That was not only relevant for the purpose of kiyum hamin, that he has to know what's one min and what's two minim in order to know did he take shnayim from that min. That's relevant even later, because one, the Gemara says there are seven mitzvahs ben Noach, but that's not true. There's not only seven. The Gemara says there's more. The Rambam and the Shachar Yeridei writes there's more. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk that ben Noach hamuzar on sirus. Not to castrate an animal, not to castrate a human being is also. They're muzer on harkavas ilanas, to graft trees, to break off a branch from one tree, and to graft it onto another tree. Not only is prohibited for us, it's prohibited for Bnei Noach. The Gemara says, kilayim, to plant kloy hakerem, or kloy zroim, to plant vegetables, mixing vegetables together, mixing grapes together with vegetables. But in our Torah, it's only forbidden in Eretz Yisrael. It's all the dinim of klima, whatever dinim there was. Only kloy akerim is midirabban, kloy zram, we never even introduced midirabban. But the kloy zram that applies to chutzlo is only midirabban, nagzera oto eretz yisrael. As opposed to harkavas ilan, is grafting trees, that the halacha says is also all over the world. It's not only in eretz yisrael. So that shaykh even to bnei noach, the gemara says. Harkavas ilan is an iser. It's not, if it would have been a din that's connected with Kedusha Saris, so what shaykhs does it have it been a noyach? How do they experience Kedusha? They can't experience Kedusha Saris Yisrael. They have no shaykhs with Kedusha Saris Yisrael. But Hakavas Ilanis applies all over the whole world to Bnei Yisrael, so it applies to Bnei Noyach as well. So the Gemara learns that from a pasuk in Chumash Vayikra. Hakavas Ilanis and Sirus and Harboaz Behemus. To mix breeds together is an Issa Deraisa for Bnei Noyach. So the Bnei Noach, that's part of the Sheva Mitzvahs did who? So they have to really learn which is Minechan and which is Shnei Minim. We have to learn it also. We have to learn it, they have to learn it. Let's say you have a plum tree and a plum tree, and you graft one branch from one plum tree onto another plum tree. So when are the two plums considered Minechan? Which I guess, I don't know anything about it. You got a long Mishnah's climb with all the Chazanishtim. So what is it Minechan and what is it Shnei Minim? It's negeh to Hakovas Ilanis, and it's negeh to Harboaz Behemus, and it's negeh to Noach throughout all the generations. Not only negeh on this one occasion that he has to know what's min echad, what's shnei minim, to know shnayim shnayim mikol min vamin, to keep each min alive. He has to know even the Doris like that. So then it still points out. There is an interesting pasuk. It says a few times, "Vayas Noach kachol ashetziva osu alekin kein osu." It says it kashetziva alekin b'snach pasuk. Tes, it says it in Perek Zayin. Then it says it again a few times. Kashetziva. Usually the Chazal have "Vayas Noach kachol ashetziva." Hashem says it three times. He did kachol ashetziva Hashem. Usually the word tzivo, Rashi writes on the opening pasuk in Parshas Tzave, "Lashem tzave lashem zivus miyada l'beris." The word mitzvah is a technical term that has the connotation of an obligation which is binding throughout all the generations. That's why the Rambam writes the Yud Dalet Charashim. The Rambam has 14 rules and regulations in the first half of the Sefer Mitzvahs He lists off the klolim, what belongs in the minyan mitzvahs and what not. What qualifies to be counted as a mitzvah. So the first klal is it has to be deraisa, so you don't count dinim derabbanan, it has to be Torah shebichtav, you don't count Torah shebaalpeh, fine. And then he says the third charish I think is that you only count what's a mitzvah hanohagis l'daris, whatever's only hoy rosho doesn't count in the tariyah mitzvahs. For example, the rabbi says you should knock on the next neighbor's door and air pesach and ask for matanis. So that was only before Yetzias Mitzrayim. That doesn't apply every year. And even as a hita mitzvah, as a voluntary mitzvah, you don't get schar as an enem mitzvah. So sometimes you get, if a woman volunteers to bench Esrik, so she gets schar as an enem mitzvah. But if you knock on your next door neighbor's door and you ask him for matana every year, you don't get any schar. It's purely her rasha, doesn't apply. Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to pick up the stick and hit Yamsuf. And if I walk over and I'll take my stick and I'll hit Yamsuf, there's no mitzvah, there's no kiyum, there's no hider, there's nothing. It's purely hayrasha. Many demons that were given were only hayrasha, so those technically are not called mitzvahs. Mitzvahs, those are divay navi. That's all about divay navi, chayis. That's a dvar hanavuah. But in order to qualify to be called a mitzvah, has to be something which is not lidos. It's the chapela. How can the pasuk say v'yasna chalash atziba also and the kim kein also? The last pasuk in chapter Vav, then it's in pasuk Hay in chapter Zayin, then it's repeated again in pasuk Tet in chapter Zayin. Everything that was given was only Hayra Shah. So that's probably where the Chazal saw that Lamad Noach Torah. The Torah Noach must have been taught some Torah here, and that's why the term Mitzvah, Torah Mitzvah. Torah Mitzvah means dinim that apply throughout all the generations. What he did was only Hayra Shah. To take in the Shnaim Shnaim, we call Min, Fakim Amin, and the 7-7 from this, and so on. But some of the aspects of that were involved were dinim that are Noeg L'Doris. So those dinim which were Noeg L'Doris, that's called Lamad Noach Torah. So the Yitzchak points out the way the Psukim is written seems to indicate, that's what he thinks, that with respect to the kosher versus non-kosher, he only learned it up until he closed the gates to the table. Now is it? Then after closing the gates, it was not relevant anymore. And it was forbidden to learn those things. Before he closed the gates, he had to know which is Torah, which is Tanayim. But as far as which is Min Echad, which is Shnei Minim, that's even relevant after the Mabul also, for the purposes of observing the din of Havoaz Beimus, that you're not allowed to hybrid the different animals, so that he continued to learn even later. So that's why the expression there, Kashatzivo Selekim, appears differently from Kashatzivo. He thinks that there's a difference between Kashatzivo and Kashatzivo Selekim. One means on the one occasion, one means that he continued to learn.
Was the Abraham you had to train a carbon from the Benjamin Tanayim, though? Doesn't that say that the purpose was getting more Benjamin Tanayim?
Right, right.
You
mean a ben noach is not supposed to bring from a non-kosher animal? I don't know. Is that takedin l'darius? I'm ben noach. I think the Gemara says that it's not so. On this occasion, that the Rabban Shalom told them to bring 7 from each kosher animal to lead them to understand that Rabban Shalom wants he only needs Shnaim for the Kim Amin. All the others for Kim Amin is only Shnaim. So why did he need 7 from the Tyrus to lead him to understand that he should bring Karbana? Yeah. But in general, if a Nachri wants to bring Karbana, he may bring from the Behemoth Meir. It's just if it's missing Mechusa Rever, he's not allowed to bring. The Nachri is not permitted to bring a Mechusa Rever, but a Behemoth Meir he may bring. I think so. It was only on this occasion that Rabban Shalom told Noach to bring 7 from each of the Tahiris, that this time after the Mabul issue he was hinting to him that he should bring only Karbanas from the Tahiris. Just yesterday I happened to meet the new Slonim Rebbe. He was commenting on the Parshas HaShavua. So he was commenting that even when the Rebbe Shalom brought a Mabul and he destroyed the whole world, but he wanted Kiyum HaMinim, he wanted each one of the Minim to remain in the new world that's going to be after the Mabul. So he kept the Zohar in the cave of the elephants, and the Zohar in the cave of the horses, and the Zohar in the cave of the deer, and the Zohar in the cave of the donkeys, and so on and so forth. So the Slonim Rebbe was talking about the Second World War. So apparently the Baruch Shalom for some unknown reason wanted to wipe out the Jewish people, but he didn't want to wipe out completely. He wanted to maintain a lot of things. So They kept alive this Chassidishe Rebbe, and this Rosh Yeshiva, and this Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Elbele Soloveitchik, and this one. His father was one of those who survived the war. His father was a big Talmid Chacham. So he was saying that Rabbi Shalom Sotomayor, that everything was rebuilt after the Shoah, just like everything, the whole world was rebuilt after the Mabul. Just an interesting thought. It wasn't a Gela Halacha. The pasuk says when the Mabul was starting, so it was pouring, and it says, Vayigburu Hamayim. Vayigburu Hamayim, Vayageshem, Vayigburu Hamayim. So Pashup Shad Vayigburu Hamayim, the Ramban writes that in Pasuk Yud Ches in chapter Zion, that the water was sloshing all around with tremendous force. So the Ramban, in the middle of his comment on that Pasuk Yud Ches, writes that when we mention in the Shemana Esim, Ashavuroch Morid Agoshim, so the Gemara, the Mishnahs call that Maskirim Gvuris Gishamim. When you say the same Talamata later on, that's called She'elah. When you're asking for Bakoshas Gishama, yes, Kabbalah, please give us the rain, we need it to have things grow. But when you say Mashiach Maragesh, you're not asking for the rain yet. You're just mentioning, describing the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Maskirim Gvuris Gishamim. The Ramban understands Gvuris Gishamim as referring to the power that the rain comes down with tremendous power, or the water slushes around. Vayigburu Hamayim, as in this pasuk. The Netziv quotes this Ramban on that pasuk, and he begs to differ. He thinks that he said he never thought that that's what it meant. I don't think that that's what it meant either. Gvuris Gishamim means Ata Gibor. The Rabbeinu Shalom is all powerful, folks. So Gvuris Gishamim means Gvuris Hashem, which is displayed by bringing Gishamim. So you're not talking about the Gvuris of the Gishamim. Talking about the Gvuris of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in that he brings Gishamim. So the Netziv thinks that that's a strange Ramban. He says he never understood the Gemara like that. Pasuk says that all living creatures die. Pasuk Chavez Kol Asher Nishmas Ruach Chaim B'Yapam Kol Asher Becharova Nesu. Kol Asher Nishmas Ruach Chaim B'Yapam. So the Toldos Aharon has a comment here. I guess the Torah Tmimah probably quotes it. I didn't have a Torah Tmimah when I was looking through the Sedra. So the Gemara Neumann Daf Pehei discusses a person was in a house and the whole house collapsed on top of him, and it happens to be Shabbos or Yom Tov, and it's a malacha to take a guy out from under the whole pile. Exactly what's the malacha? What is it? Tilta Muksa? That the Eitzim Avon and the Otho, the bricks and stones that the house was built with are Muksa, so it's an issue the Rabbanan of Tilta Muksa. Or is the malacha of Soser over here? That you have a big pile in your Soser? Is it a malacha derai? So that's the question, how to read that Gemara. What the Gemara calls to pull out a person who's half dead from under the pile by removing all of the gal of Avonim and offer and so on. So the Egle Tal discusses in the Hagdamah to his Sefer that Gemara in the end of Yuma, and also in the end of Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says in the end of Rosh Hashanah, that Shofar she Rosh Hashanah ain oilam ala bilon veyrech magabi beime veymefak mala v'sagal, that you're not allowed to climb up. If the Shofar that you need on Rosh Hashanah is on top of the tree, the only way to get to blow Shofar is to climb up yourself on the tree in order to get it. So it's better not to blow Shofar than to violate the Yisrael Rabbanim of climbing on a tree. It's forbidden with the Rabbanim to climb on a tree on Shabbos Yom, like Zeir. Or let's say the Shofar is on the other side of the river, so the only way to get to the Shofar on Rosh Hashanah is by using a rowboat to get to the other side of the river, and then to get the shofar, so it's forbidden with the Rabbanah to use a robot. So the Gemara says, so you forgot to be a shofar that year. If you can ask an offer to do it, that'll be a shvuz, the shvuz, the mach and mitzvah. Yes, because it's only the Rabbanah. And you ask the God to climb up on a tree. If you use a robot, that itself is only an use of the Rabbanah. And then the Gemara says, hey, mitzvah, come over the sagal. You're not allowed to, if the shofar is under a pile, a heap of bricks and stones and so on, it's forbidden to be mitakech on the sagal. So the Gemara says that one is the rice and one is the rabbana. One of these is the, it never says which is the rice and which is the rabbana. So usually we assume that aim effect from all of sagal is some kind of an isa the rice. So the Egle Tal points out that not everybody agrees to that. I think Rabbein Hanal or someone says no, aim effect from all of sagal is the rabbana. That's the rabbana. Because the whole prohibition is only till Tumukta. In Eilam Bilon, that's the deraisa. I climb it up a tree, it's only Rabbana, but you're afraid it may break off a branch. If it breaks off a branch, then it'll be deraisa. Whatever it is, so there's a question, what's wrong with the Lefakeh HaLavah Sagal? But the Gemara talks in the end of Yuma, Daf Pehei, the Mishnah in the last parak in Yuma, the Mishnah is talking about Chomish Inuyim on Yom Kippur. All Maseches Yuma, the first seven parakim, talk about the Sefer HaVoidah. And the last parak is the parak that's relevant this man as well. It talks about the Chomish Inuyim that we have to observe. Yimisim Esnaf Shesech. So it says that everybody has to fast. Everybody has to fast. So sometimes you have all the people who, it's a Sakonis Nefashis, they're not allowed to fast. The Mishnah develops the din of Pikuach Nefesh. The Gemara has a whole discussion there of Pikuach Nefesh, Derech Shabbos, Pikuach Nefesh, Derech Inuyim, Yom HaKippurim, and so on. So the Gemara talks about a person, Mishnah Lola Mapolas, he has to be in fact careful of the Sagal in order to save his life, whatever. Are there you're violating either the Raisa, the Rabbanah, whatever, so you have to do it. What if you ascertain though that he's dead? You find the body, and in order to pull out the body, you have to take off this whole of Hakech Lovas Agal, violating Issa. But you ascertain that the fellow underneath is dead, so then the Kavod HaMeis also dictates you have to take the guy out and bury him. The Kavod HaMeis, you're not allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, you're not allowed to be Mechal Yom. So you leave the dead body there till after Shabbos, and then the Chevek Kaddisha will come back and they'll take care of it. But you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos and Yom. So how do you determine that the person is dead? How do you know whether the person is alive or dead? So the Gemara quotes this passage. When he's breathing, if a person is breathing, then he's alive. If he's not breathing, then he's not alive. So this is a big discussion. Is this really the din? Is that taka the din? So the several countries in the 1800s, several of the European countries passed laws, and some of them still have the law, that after a doctor signs a death certificate, you're not allowed to bury the person until 72 hours later, because maybe the doctor made a mistake. Apparently, a couple of doctors made mistakes, and they buried people alive. They were ready to bury people alive. Every couple of weeks, they have this in the National Enquirer. You know, sell it up on the street. So they have headlines, as I'm waiting once in a while in the A&T, so I see the headlines there, that they're having a wake for someone in a church or whatever, and the guy woke up and he said, what's going on here? And then he told him, hey, you're dead. So he got a heart attack and then he dropped dead. Some Zuchayin of Achayin. Stories like that. So this was happening in Europe, apparently. The doctors only passed with the 65. They passed the penis in medical school 65. And they were declaring people as dead who were still alive. And they were killing people. They were burying people alive. So the governments, a couple of countries, passed laws. You're not allowed to bury anybody until 72 hours after the death certificate was signed to make sure that he's really dead. So it's a shaila that we're mevatel. That's in violation of the din of... the song of the Los Alex, you have a mitzvah session to bury the same day before the Shti if possible. And Lois Sessi, not to wait till the morning. Lasol and Halana is with Alois Ashaki. Not allowed to wait 3 days. It's a mitzvah lechatzin to bury the same day, if not the same day, to bury the same night before Alois Ashaki, unless you want to have so many people come to the funeral, some of the Shimtabin Ames. The Gemara says, if the Mishnah says, Hey, Linei Lechvoda is Mutter. So this is a big debate. So Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kayis had a correspondence with the Chasam Sofer about this. So he sent him a letter that maybe we should go along with the government laws, because we have such a passage in Maseches Machas, I think. It says that someone once came to visit the cemetery and he heard someone banging on the door. Someone was buried in an ohel and they had locked the door. Someone was banging on the doors. It was a dead body. They had buried a person alive. And he crawled out and he got out and he was banging on the doors. Let me out of here. You locked me in. Let me out of here. So the guy took him out. So you see in Chazal that there's such a thing happens. So that's what the Goyim are afraid of. That's what the Chazal spoke about. So maybe we should go along and also wait 3 days. Not because even the Machusadim. Maybe it's a real concern. A suffix sakonis nefashis. The Gemara says, you don't go baser raviv, no, the odds are very slim. From all the people who died since Adam Rishon, how many times did it happen that they buried a person alive? Less than 1%, less than a tenth of a percent, less than a thousandth of a percent. Whatever, every million people. So that's a shaila. Is that called the suffix sakonis nefashis? So the Chasam Sofer has in response, and then Rav Zish Chayis writes that what it says in the Gemara, that when a person is not breathing, that we know that he's dead based on this pasuk. He says, you look in the Rambam, in the Mor and the Ruchim, you see that it's not so. The Rambam writes that he read somewhere in some medical book that it's possible for a person to stop breathing for a few days, for several days, and then to come to later on and to regain his health and to be able to function normally later on. So if the Rambam writes that they have such a record in the medical books that such a thing is possible, so then maybe it's takas safek sakonas nefesh. Maybe we should follow the suggestion of the Umos Olam of the countries to wait 3 days to bury the mason. So the Chassam Sofer got all upset. He said, "This is ridiculous, and it's abikosis, and it's stupid, and everything." That's why that tshuva in the Chassam Sofer doesn't have the name to whom the tshuva was written. Almost all of the tshuvas in the Chassam Sofer, from hundreds and hundreds of tshuvas, it always has the name of the person. Several of the tshuvas, less than 10, I think maybe less than 5. If it's less than 5 tshuvas, doesn't have the name. And each one there's a reason why. So this one, he didn't want to be mevazer at Tzvi Yishchais in public. So how do I know the secret? Because Tzvi Yishchais was very proud of the fact that he had a correspondence with the Chassam Sofer. So he published the Shailas of Tshuvas, the correspondence that he had in a separate book. So he has the whole Shaila that he sent to the Chassam Sofer. And then if you look in the tshuva of the Chassam Sofer, now you know what he's talking about. A lot of times the Chassam Sofer has a tshuva and he says, and that's at Moreh Nevuchim. What Moreh Nevuchim? Where? Obviously the guy sent him the Shaila, said something about Moreh Nevuchim, and about that Rambam, and about that Rivash. So you have to know what did the Shaila send him in order to know what in the world is. A lot of times the tshuvas are very obscure, because he takes it, he's assuming that you remember what you wrote in your letter, but we never saw the original letter. So here, if you don't read the original letter of the Chassam of the Maritz Kais, you really don't understand what in the world the Chassam Sofer is talking about. So he happens to agree with him. He says what the Rambam wrote in Moreh Nevuchim is true. So what it says in the Gemara, that if the guy is not breathing, that means that he's dead. He says that's not a halachic definition of death. It's not a halachic definition that breathing means alive and not breathing is dead. No, this is a simon. I bet they learned it out from this person. He says maybe it's only an asmachta. He doesn't know. Maybe it is halacha. But if it's halacha, it means that you learn out from this person. But even though there's one chance in a million that maybe the guy's still alive, the halacha says you have a right to ignore it. But it's not that the halacha says that this is the definition of life versus death, that whoever is breathing is alive, whoever is not breathing is dead. It's taka not true. He says the Rambam is right. It's taka not true. That's not the definition of life and death. Life and death depends on something else. But the halacha says that you have a right to ignore this one out of what out of a million chance that maybe the guy is still alive and you're burying him by mistake. Says the halacha, they quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Sofot, that the Chen Kaddish know that, it's quoted the other day, that when a ghost say stops breathing, so they have to wait 15-20 minutes, and if he's not breathing at all for 15-20 minutes, so then you have the right to assume that he's dead. You can't bury him right away. He stops breathing right away, you're going to bury him. Whenever anyone breathes, you stop breathing for a second. So you're going to bury me. Call the chevra, bury me. I stop breathing. No, I'm going to breathe. Give me a chance. So you got it. So the chevra kadisha has to give a guy a chance. Rav Moshe says 15. The Rambam doesn't say how many minutes. His mom was. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes 15-20 minutes. You got to wait 20 minutes. After 20 minutes not breathing, not that by definition, whoever isn't breathing for 20 minutes. It's a similar dover. Whoever is not breathing 20 minutes, the chances are 5 million to 1 that he's dead already. But death is determined by something else. There is a chance, 1 in 5 million and 1, that maybe he's still alive. So the halacha says that you have a right to ignore that chance. That's what the Chassam Sofer says are true. Like also the pikuach nefashis achar ha, right? When it comes to suffix sakone, the Gemara says at the end of the first parak in Ksubis, you're not allowed to follow the roif to assume that there's no sakana. However, what if it's a echad, meaning elef alfei alochim, one out of a million? So that's if it's a suffix sakana that people would not consider significant, people would think that that's a joke. So that's the pasuk of Shem Epsayim Hashem. That's not called a suffix sakana. Suffix sakana is only a suffix that people would be nervous about, people would consider as meaningful. But if it's just utterly ridiculous, then it's not called the suffix sakana. So the Chassam Sofer happens to write, and that tshuva, he writes also that breathing and not breathing is not the definition of life versus death. It depends on something else which he doesn't define. He doesn't go into the discussion. He just says, the halacha says, we have the right. He says, what is it, a new shaila that came up in the 1800s? So we never had the shaila before. It's just an old shaila. It was always like that. The Rambam in the Moreh Nevuchim comments on the Ben Aisha Shunamis. He claims that the Ben Aisha Shunamis just fainted. and he wasn't breathing for a while, and then he came to later on. So against the Gemara, the Gemara says that he was dead, and Elisha and Rabbi accomplished Chiyas HaMeisim. So they asked the Kash on the Rambam. So the Rambam understood that the Ben Ish HaShanamis was like that record that appears in the medical books, that there was a person who stopped breathing for several days, for 3 days, and then he came to later on, he continued to breathe. So the Rambam understands that that person is not considered dead just because he stopped breathing for 20 minutes. That's not the definition. Usually that's a simon of death. Here it's a false simon. Here the guy wasn't breathing for more than 20 minutes, and it was not a simon of death. But what is the definition of death? Is something other than breathing. Noach was commanded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should bring in Shnaim Shnaim. He had to bring a Zohar Nekeva for Kiyum Hamin, and then he had to have Shiva Shiva, and that he understood was not for the sake of Kiyum Hamin, but rather, even though the Pasuk sounds like that, in Chapter, and Tziv has difficulty with that Pasuk, Chapter 9, Pasuk Gimel, Gam Ayof HaShemayim Shiva Shiva Zohar Nekeva L'chayo Zera Al Pnei Chol Ha'aretz. So then it points out, he says, one, he would have suggested that by the Of HaShemayim they needed Shiva Shiva even from the non-kosher Ramadan. So it doesn't say only from the Tahura versus the Tameya. That's what it says in Pasuk Beis, chapter 9, Pasuk Beis says, from the Beima Tameya they took Shnaim Shnaim Zohar Nekeva, from the Beima Tameya they took Shiva Shiva, and it's understood that it was for Korban, it's not for Kim Amin. Here it says, Gam Of HaShemayim Shiva Shiva Zohar Nekeva. So one gets the impression as if the 7-7 is even by an Of Tomei, and it's all for the Kiyum Amin, as if the Ribbono Shel Olam is more interested in birds than he is in an animal, behemoth and chayus and shrutzim and so on, the musim. So the Nitziv shows from the Gemara that it's not so, that by Of HaShemayim is also only Shnaim Shnaim, and the remaining six, the extra six, are only from the Of Tohar, only for the purpose of Hakrovas HaKarbonis. But anyway, the Ribbono Shel Olam told Noach that these are all necessary. He needs Shnaim Shnaim, and he needs this. So the Netziv poses the question. Obviously, I only had a Chumash with the Netziv the last 2 days. I was looking at the Netziv. So he poses the question, what is Noach doing over here? He sends out an Orev, then he sends out the Yaina. What are you going to do if they're not going to come back? What's going to be with the Karbonis, and what's going to be with the Kiyum Amin? You're going to violate the Ribbono Shel Olam's Tzivui. He always has original, something original to say. He says, look at the opening pasuk in chapter Zayin. Vayomer Hashem Noach, Vayatov b'chol beischo al ha'teva. Tios chavisayik lefana b'adar hazeh. Vayatov b'chol beischo. Who is this? Atov b'chol beischo. He says, a lot of people have pet puppies, they have pet kittens, they have pet parakeets, they have all kinds of birds. He says, the Gevirim have all kinds of pet birds. So he claims that that's included in Beis Chol. I also live. That's included in Beis Chol, you and your family. So he says he had to bring Zohar Nekeva L'Kiyum Amin. He had to bring Shiva Shiva for Karbonis. Atov B'chol Beis Chol, he can bring his parakeet, he can bring his pet Orvin, his pet Yoina, that he can bring. So he had a right to send out the pet Yoina and the pet Orvin, even though it may never come back. He doesn't know if it's ever going to come back. So he sent them out to see what's due. That wasn't a violation of the Tzivay Hashem for the Kiyum Amin. It's an original, that's for sure. Usually I thought Beis Chol means Beis Zewishto, your wife, your children. I never knew that it includes the parakeet. But that's his suggestion. So he says he sent out the Orev. So the Gemara said the fairy, she was one of the two. I don't know. I don't remember. Maybe he talks about that too. I don't remember. Don't know. I'm Pasuk Zayin. chapter Ches, Pasuk Zayin, he has this. That's against the Gemara that you're saying. I don't know. Then he has also a comment that those who are learning Perek HaZohar will appreciate, that when Noach sent out the Yoina, and the Yoina came back, so it says, Vayishlach Yoda Vayikacheha, Vayovi Osa Elov El HaTeva. He stretched his hand out and he took the Yoina back in. So the Rishonim ask a question. I saw it in Paneach Roza, but usually Paneach Roza is from one of the Balei HaTeis, usually he just says over what it says in the other Balei HaTeis. So it must be, I didn't have a chance to look in the other. The reason why I looked in the Paneach Roza, because when I came back on the plane, Rabbi Zion's, the Chayim Lach, used to be already here, and he taught Tanakh, I think. So he was the one who did, he was the one who published this Paneach Roza that I have at home. His son was sitting next to me on the plane. So this morning when I came back, I looked in the Paneach Roza. So he poses a question on this pasuk, the Balei HaTeis says, why did he stretch out his hand? Why didn't he just open the window? And maybe the Yoina will come back in. Wouldn't the Yoina have to come back in by itself? That's the question that no answer is given. So the Netziv raises the question. So he gives a suggestion based on the Gemara in Perek HaZohar. The Gemara that some of the people in the Kerlov just learned recently, the Gemara says that the one of the Amoraim had lent money to someone, either lent money or had a pikadon of cash. The two gears is a big machlokes in Rishonim. Rambam tells you what the correct gears is in the Gemara. Either havi masik bezuzi or havelei zuzi. Either someone had a pikadon of $1 million in another city that we see, or they owed him $1 million. And he didn't have time to go travel to China, to Indonesia, wherever he was over there to collect the money. So he wanted to send the shliach to collect the money. But he sent the shliach, yeah, the guy who owes you the money can say, go fly kite, labod ram the diat, I'm not mechuyev to answer you. When Shefta will come, I'll be happy to give him $1 million. You're not Shefta, I don't have to speak to you. Labod ram the diat. So the way to solve the problem, the Gemara says in Bava Kamma, Dafayinam and Aleph, is that you have to make a murshin. You have to be makne, $1 million, to the shliach who's going. And the guy comes and he says, don't just say I'm a shliach. He says, no, I own $1 million. The guy was makna to me $1 million. So the Gemara says he was makna with a kinyan agav. That's all machlok is in Rishonim. Can you be makna mil bal peh with an agav? Or was he makna kish? Did he have a sack? Or was it a pikodon? So he's makna the kish with the kinyan agav. Or he's makna mil bal peh. So that's a machlok. His case is in the Rambam. Two gears this in the Gemara. So then he was makna. He gave him a document to that effect. And he made a harshah and he was makna. And the guy succeeded in getting the money back, and word somehow came back to the Amora that he's coming back with his $1 million. So the Gemara says he went to greet him and to express his appreciation and his gratitude. He went atodah to another city. He walked Tchum Shabbos, whatever. He walked a couple miles to greet him, that he finally got back his $1 million. So he says, what do you see from the Gemara? Whenever Shliach does a job that you yourself cannot do, and you appreciate it very much, you have to go be mekabel panim and demonstrate your appreciation for him. So he says, that's why over here, Yoina was stuck in the teva, he couldn't go out. And he sent the Yoina in order to, Noach was stuck in the teva, so he sent the Yoina to do the shlichus, so to express his gratitude and appreciation. That was his bechina of nafa gat tova. That's the Netziv's suggestion. Then the Rabbi Shalom permitted Noach to eat meat, which was forbidden up until after the Mabul. He had to be vegetarians, but he said, you're not allowed to eat Eid Manachai. The Rambam said, you're not allowed to eat Bas Manachai either. And then he told him the din, you're permitted to kill animals, but you're not allowed to kill other human beings, and you're not even allowed to kill yourselves. Ba'achas dinchem anav shesechem edrosh. Edrosh means misa b'dei shamayim. That's what the Gemara often has. Edrish means misa b'dei shamayim. So if a person commits suicide, he's chayv misa b'dei shamayim. What exactly does that mean is a question. Okay. What exactly does that mean? So the Minchas Chinuch has a comment on the pasuk of Lo'isir. So if he says, if you murder someone, you chayv misa b'dei shamayim. If you commit suicide, you chayv only misa b'dei shamayim. He claims that it's not the same as Lo'isir. So if you're not chayv misa b'dei shamayim, what's the difference? So he says, Chapan Afkamina for the purposes of Kamlai Bidirabnine. The way the person quote this in the name of the Mahasinah. He said, Chapan Afkamina for the purpose of Kamlai Bidirabnine, the Hainu. And let's say I shot a bullet, and as the bullet was going to kill the other person, so it caused other damage as well. So that's a din of kam l'midrash, I'm only chayiv misa, and I don't have to pay for the hezek. And even bizman hazeh, that there's no bezin, and there's no din in the fashis at all, there's still a din of kam l'midrash. That's how the pin the better mind, so din of kam l'midrash still applies bizman hazeh. So what if a person committed suicide, and in the process of committing suicide, he causes a hezek? Because it's a hefsid mammon, would you also say kam l'midrash? So the Minhas Tinuch says no, because achas dimcha l'nashes seichem medrash is only misa b'dei shemayim, it's not misa b'dei adam. And although there is an opinion in the Gemara that misa b'dei shemayim makes kam l'midrash, it's machloikis abayi v'rova within Rav Nechunya ben Akonin.